And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
Crosby doesn't miss a beat in his return and pick up Cole Hudson immediately. Hello and welcome to another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 21 Mailbag Edition. Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen. What's going on, Jake?
Not too much, Nick. Great to see another Hudson doing Hudson-like things in the National Hockey League on Wednesday night. We'll see where that goes the rest of the season. And Pens, Canes, if we see that in the second round, how exciting would that be with a couple of the games we've got between those two? And I hope everybody's doing well in their fantasy playoffs right now. This is crunch time heading into the weekend. We'll try to help you out as best as we can.
It is, and I was going to say, as a fantasy owner of Sidney Crosby, it's so great to see the captain of the Pens back. One goal, one assist, four shots on goal in a 6-5 shootout loss against Carolina, but he misses 11 games means just comes back like nothing changed, man. It's crazy.
It really is, and he was minus 135 for a point last night. I'm not sure we get that again, but yeah, Pens and Canes, they play again on Sunday. We could see a matchup with those two teams in the playoffs, and a shout-out to Erik Karlsson, who's among the leaders in points since the NHL returned after the Olympic break. He's got 17 points, guys, in his last 12 games, five multi-point games in his past six. It's vintage Karlsson, and Penguins, they just play fun games, Nick. Their last seven games, we've seen at least seven goals scored in their game, so high-event hockey.
Meany said it right there. These games are just fun for Pittsburgh. I don't know where this season is going to go from here. There is an opportunity for someone in the Metro, Nick, to win a round of playoff hockey. Now, we know Carolina is going to be the favorite, but Pittsburgh's given them a couple of really good games lately. And like Meany mentioned, they play again on Sunday. They seem like they're right there with them. And we could talk about some possible goaltending issues in Carolina as well. And how about Geno Malkin coming back from the suspension with a vengeance the other night? Was it 3 points in the first period against Colorado? So these guys turning back the clock a little bit in Pittsburgh at the moment.
Look, I know I had some pushback last week from Zach Phillips who dropped by about who should win the Jack Adams. It has to be Dan Muse. Just even the job he did without Sidney Crosby in Pittsburgh just does not skip a beat. It's been such a tremendous story, but from a fantasy standpoint means I think this boosts everybody across the board. We saw vintage EK, as Jake talked about at the last couple games, had a monster night against Carolina. Raquel, Russ, Chinnikov, Malkin, the crease. How could you not be inspired by the return of the captain too?
Yeah, I know, exactly. And the fact that he's been out for so long and they kind of weathered the storm without him. Malkin had the 5-game suspension. They still found ways to pick up points and score goals. Anthony Mantha, shout out to Pete, who gave him a little bit of love, I think, on the previous episode. I know he had him as one of his goal picks in the NHL Goal Chase article that we produce every single day. So there's a lot of offense here on this team. And, you know, Russ and Raquel have always been solid fantasy performers, especially in the leagues with shots and hits. And Chinnikov is a guy that we've talked about for quite some time. And, you know, at this time of the season, Jake mentions fantasy hockey playoffs. You know, people make panic moves. They drop guys. I saw Erik Karlsson in one of my leagues. Like, at this time of the season, people will drop guys that maybe shouldn't be dropped, Jake. And if you see a Penguin on the waiver wire, you go get them. I mean, they have a couple more games this week.
Oh, and I've been trusting Pittsburgh for a while, and I'm always in the back of my mind thinking, is this thing just going to fall apart? But now we're almost at the end of the season, guys. Right. I think at some point we just have to go, they are what they are. They found some magic beans or some magic dust in that room, and it feels like they've come together. You look at it on paper, you go, this probably shouldn't work, but it does seem to work. And like I mentioned, there's an opportunity there in the Metro. On the Carolina side of things, goaltending issues, again, same conversation we have this time of the year. The one thing I will say positively about the Canes, Nick, heading into the postseason, about a month away, I do like their scoring a lot more than I have in previous years. I think they have the depth. I don't think the scoring is going to be what holds them back from winning a Stanley Cup this year, but there might be some other issues that hold them back.
Yeah, they're not winning the cup. I've been saying this all season long. They didn't address their crease, and now they're paying for it. Brandon Bussey, since signing the extension, 2-3-0, 4.05, 8.35. Freddie Anderson's allergic to the crease in the Stanley Cup playoffs. We all know where this is headed for Carolina. Maybe they go to a conference final, but that's about it. We were going to play a bit of hold or full today. It is a mailbag edition. Anybody else want to chime in? Means you want to? Do you want to combat me on that statement?
No, I'm with you. I've been saying this for years. Everybody who's followed my work with the Carolina Hurricanes, I know that you've said it. I think, you know, as a collective group here, we've been concerned about their goaltending and their offense for years. And the second line showed up last night. They all had 2 points, and Stankoven and Hall and Blake, and they're playing pretty good. And I agree with Jake. Their offense is kind of appealing. But, you know, when push comes to shove, come Stanley Cup playoffs, I just don't think they're just They're just not as deep down the middle of the ice as other teams. And if they do get out of that side of the bracket in the Metro, most likely going to have to face the Tampa Bay Lightning squad or maybe a Buffalo squad who's got a ton of depth. And I'm not sold on their goaltending. So, yeah, they're an easy fade for me.
To our trusty mailbag we go. Guys, please help me. I lost Leon Draisaitl. What do I do? Is my fantasy season done? Well, we can answer right now. Jason Dickinson internally, maybe look at him now. Potentially as a 2C moving forward, got an apple against San Jose. I would look externally, though, Jake. Marco Rossi suddenly has 7 points in the last three. Pavel Zacha has 4 points in the last three. And have yourself a night, Charlie Coyle, with a four-point effort against Carolina earlier this week.
Rossi's a nice shout. I know Vancouver stinks, but some of these teams, this is what we've been talking about now for weeks, targeting teams like the Rangers. We're seeing the Devils now all of a sudden put up a bunch of offense. So maybe there's something there to New Jersey now that the games are meaningless. And you talk about Rossi in Vancouver. He's been picking up some points lately. So look, if you lost Draisaitl, it is panic time. You can't replace the Leon Draisaitl. I think we all know that. But Meany, I'd maybe even look to the schedule, play the streamer game. Nick mentioned some guys that are hot right now. I'd be looking at some teams, at least for the short term, teams that are playing three games in four nights starting on Thursday night. And there is a bunch of them: Buffalo, Chicago, Columbus, LA, Nashville, New York Islanders, Tampa, Utah, Vegas, Winnipeg. Tons of teams play three and four. I would just manipulate the schedule with that extra roster spot that you're losing with Leon Draisaitl.
Yeah, absolutely. Frank Nizar has been hot for Chicago. He's a guy that plays three games here the rest of the week. Coyle was just mentioned. Mason Marchment, if you need some hits and blocks, Provorov. Mikey Anderson, I picked him up on Monday with the Kings having four games. He had a goal and assist. I lucked into a game-winning goal. You could look at Carolina with Keandre Miller and Sean Walker. Both of those guys last night not only providing hits and blocks, they both scored. Walker had seven shots and the overtime winner. And how about Gage Gonzalez? My goodness. Like, this guy has an opportunity with Braden Point and Jake Guentzel, who are studs. He has 6 points over a current four-game point streak, four goals. He's hitting 16 hits in his last five games, Nick. He's got seven shots in his past three, at least two shots in five of seven. He's plus 475 for a goal tonight against the Vancouver Canucks, who've allowed the most goals per game, and they have the worst penalty kill percentage. So yeah, just jump in on some of these streamers that are in good situations, and he's certainly one of them right now.
I got a good one in the mailbag here for you, Nick, and it's goaltending related. We know that's very important in fantasy playoffs. Hopefully nobody here got off to a bad start with goaltending categories. You don't want to cook them early in the week, but we did get a question from a listener saying, should I drop Wedgwood for the fantasy playoffs? I have Elvis and Greaves. So do you trust this Columbus tandem right now with where it's at? Jack Greaves had a great game the other night against the Carolina Hurricanes, and Columbus is just in good form playing great hockey, Nick. So do you trust these Jackets goaltenders in fantasy crunch time here?
Not over Wedgwood. I know Colorado's had their struggles the last little while, but I like the team in front of him. I like the fact that they've been pacing themselves for the last little while, and they're going to get healthier at some point in time down the stretch here. I know patience is thrown out the window this time of year, but there's just something about Columbus that screams leaking goals, and I think it's been up and down. Like, that's the curiosity for me means is, like, you know, Columbus could get into the Stanley Cup playoffs, but among the list of teams, I still wonder if they can get that save when it matters most.
Yeah, and it's fair, right? Their offense has certainly been really good. Their puck possession numbers have been fantastic since Bonus has taken over, and they've arguably been the best team in the NHL over that span as well. Yeah, there's a couple goalies here. I mean, teams that play Saturday, Sunday, you got the Buffalo Sabres, and they've been going back and forth with UPL and Alex Lyon. Lyon could be on your waiver wire. I assume he gets the start tonight against the Sharks, who first home game in quite some time. They had a lengthy road trip, so I like Buffalo tonight, and he'll most likely get a start on Sunday. Casey DeSmith with the Stars in a back-to-back. The Islanders as well. David Riddick potentially. We talked about Pittsburgh allowing a lot of goals, but Skinner can get you some saves. And I think maybe the best streaming option, Jake, and it's on Sunday against the Flames, is Jonas Johansson. I mean, Tampa Bay is rolling right now. You're going to get Vasilevskiy on Saturday against the Oilers. I mean, if you're just looking for a win, it's a pretty good opportunity against the Flames.
I think so as well. And I know Nick says that because we've probably all been down the Jonas Johansson road at some point in our fantasy lives. I've been down. I've had to get desperate and go with that stream. And look, it does depend on where you're at. If your goaltending categories are good, you don't need to pick them up. But like Meany said, if you're in a desperate situation, you're looking for a win late in the week, I mean, at that point, your back's up against the wall. You got to do something. We did talk about Kane's goaltending earlier, Nick. We got a few questions about that. I know you're out on them for the playoffs, and I don't disagree there, but for the fantasy playoffs, do we still roll out Brandon Bussey and heck, Frederick Anderson if he gets some starts? They do play the Leafs this week, and I think I'm okay starting with Kane's goaltender in that matchup, but then the Penguins matchup, based on what we've seen, I'm not so sure I'm trusting that one.
Guys, we're one episode away from calling in the goalie whisperer, Davey Satriano. I don't know what we're doing here advice-wise. We're advising people to pick up the Oilers goalies. Maybe it just speaks to the lack of depth in fantasy hockey. Jake, I'm out. I'm out on Carolina. Like, I'm making tough decisions this time of year. I just echoed the numbers on Bussey. It hasn't been great for the last month and a half. Ditto for Frederik Andersen. I'm looking for wins. I'm looking for statistics. And right now, Carolina doesn't look like they're in sync with maybe there's some fallout from the trade deadline, but it's weird to say that because every year they're just a juggernaut in this league.
I think we are starting to see Bussey hit that wall a little bit. Now, how does he recover from this? Can he find his form before the playoffs? That's going to be the big conversation. But yeah, if you have him in fantasy means, it's kind of a tough own at the moment. And he's been so good for you all season long. And then now, of course, at the time you need him most, he's starting to struggle a little bit. I mean, he also got one in here about Brock Nelson and his struggles right now to produce in Colorado. Is this somebody that you just say, you know what, kind of be harsh like Nick and cut ties if he's not producing in this Colorado offense? Or do you think, no, it's too much too soon, ride him out, see what happens this weekend? I traded for Brock Nelson in my keeper league, and I'm not having the best of time right now.
Yeah, it's tough. I think Brock Nelson's the guy that I would probably hang on to. Some of these studs, I know we're getting a lot of questions like, how, you know, do you just drop a stud that's, you know, scoreless? And I feel like you trust the guys that got you here. I mean, if you're heading into the weekend and you have three or four moves and, you know, you can stream a guy that has, you know, three games the rest of the week, that's something that you consider. But for a guy like Brock Nelson, he's still on the top power play. I still like his game. Nichushkin's a guy that I would cut ties with, right? He hasn't done a whole lot. He's playing alongside Brock Nelson. Even though the schedule is good, he's not scoring. So even though Brock Nelson's been pretty steady all year long, there's been some highs and some lows from Nichushkin. So I think you can swap some of those guys. You know, take a look at the mailbag. There's like deep league stuff, people looking for a power play. I talked to Pete about this morning. Cal Ritchie, he's on that first power play. He's starting to shoot the puck a little bit. Braden Schenn's on that first power play as well. Those guys seem to have a little bit of a chemistry. So Cal Ritchie's a guy. Maybe you can pick up a power play point and you can just fall into a point. The Islanders have three games the rest of the week.
Guys, we got a mailbag question asking who has been your biggest surprise since the trade deadline week moves. And I really like, obviously, Bobby McMahon. We've been talking at length about him, but we have not talked a lot about Braden Schenn. He scored a power play goal the other night. He's playing on the first unit, some really nice category coverage. 3 points in five games, the power play goal, 8 shots, 9 hits, 4 blocks in 5 games. Since the trade to the Islanders, like, that's a legit pickup for championship week and fantasy playoffs.
Yeah, he fits the mold too as well of what the New York Islanders want to do and what they're selling. You know, it's not a good advertisement of them, but that game against the Maple Leafs, it was a bore fest, maybe the most boring game of the NHL season. But Schenn scores. It's funny because maybe he didn't want to go to Toronto last year and ends up an Islander. Schaefer thought was good in that game, but yeah, I can get on board with that. Like, Braden Schenn, you got to think, is reinvigorated with the chance to potentially go to the playoffs here, maybe, you know, vie for a conference final or a Stanley Cup. So I'm with that. But my answer would be Bob McMahon. He's been a great story here with Seattle, Jake.
I was going to say the same thing. Bobby McGretzky, as I think we might have to start calling him with this production in Seattle. It's like, I've always kind of liked Bobby McMahon. He's fine. He's a decent hockey player. You put him with some good players. He's got that speed. I can understand why maybe Seattle would go for him. But Meany, I looked at that trade and I thought, Seattle already has 15 Bobby McMahons on that team. They already have a bunch of good but not great players. I didn't expect this usage. I didn't expect him to come in and basically be used like Connor McDavid. Now, he's not going to keep putting up this production. I get that. But it you know, it is surprising me quite a bit to see that production. And obviously, Seattle here means with a lot to play for down the stretch.
I think the biggest thing is the usage rate. Like, yeah, he's hot. He's got goals in the three games. He's got 10 shots, 8 hits, got 6 points. But hey, right away, here you go. You're going to play with our best players on the first line. You're going to play with Matty Berniers, Jordan Eberle. And what it has done is it's created a little bit of balance. And this isn't a team that has a ton of offense, but all of a sudden Jared McCann goes on the second line. You put him on the second power play. You know, they have Montour, they have Dunn, who can create a little bit of offense from the back end. So I said this on Monday, I kind of like where the Kraken are at right now, and I'm looking at some of these other teams that are struggling to find consistency to get into the postseason, whether it's the Sharks, the Predators, the Jets, whoever. The Kraken at least are a team that they play tight hockey games, Nick. They're not going to score a lot of goals, but they kind of crack it down defensively, and their goaltending's been pretty decent this year.
Yeah, I hope they make the playoffs. They're going to do nothing as well. Like, I'm sorry to be.
Well, who's going
to
be Colorado? Nobody's going to be Colorado, right?
I don't know. And I wanted to just bring up that when we think in like 5 years, how are we going to remember the 2026 trade deadline? I think this just speaks volumes. We're talking about Braden Schenn at 3,000 years old. Love Braden Schenn, who's got 3 points in five games, and Bobby McMahon, but not much was accomplished. And where I'm going with that is Minnesota. I mean, they're starting to falter a bit here, Jake, and there was this foregone conclusion that it was going to be Dallas and Minnesota in the first round. Now it could very well be Colorado and Minnesota in the first round. And how often do we be talking about Minnesota and getting to the playoffs and always losing in the first round? And I think it could happen again this year, man.
I really liked Minnesota all year, but I am starting to get very worried. Not even just about potential matchup, but just how this team is playing. I don't know if maybe it's because of the playoff format and the fact that they probably maybe lack a little motivation, just kind of destined into that three spot and figure out who they're going to play. But they're going to have to find their game here, meaning going to the playoffs, because it is going to be Dallas or Colorado in the first round. They aren't going to have home ice advantage. Do they have the center depth to keep up with some of those teams? So I am very worried about where the Minnesota Wild are at right now. We did get a few mailbag questions as well relating to Cole Hudson means. I wanted to get your take on that and how valuable maybe he could be down the stretch here. One question from a listener saying, Sanderson out, do I keep Bowen Byram as my fourth D or do I add Cole Hudson? We see him get the empty netter, so I don't know how much we're reading into that. And, you know, some power play time in there as well. So your thoughts on Cole Hudson right now?
He looked good. Didn't look like a rookie. I mentioned on Monday he plays a lot like his brother Lane, right? He's got poise with the puck. He's patient. You could see a couple end-to-end rushes. There was one play where he entered the zone with control, a little curl. He tossed it over to Strome. Strome didn't score, but this is the kind of things that he can offer. I would be a little... I'm a little cool on him the rest of the way. I mean, he's still just a rookie defenseman. He's not going to get top power play time, I don't think, the rest of the way. But he did have five shot attempts, which was among the leaders. He had the three shots. You mentioned the goal, so he's on the ice late there. The Capitals do have, you know, some offensive firepower there, but I may lean him over Bowen Byram, but he's not a guy that I'm rushing to get. Again, Nick, you trust the guys that you got there. Keeper league, he certainly should be owned. But if you need help on the blue line and seeing a game on Friday against the Devils and another game on Sunday against the Avs, so he's a decent streaming option.
Nick, what if you're debating between, say, Erasmus Anderson? Like, something's a little out of whack.
Anderson,
in
I
Vegas.
Booted 3 months ago, so.
Yeah, so, like, even a big name like that, one of the bigger trade deadline acquisitions of the season, like, you might drop a player like that for Cole Hudson, I think.
1,000%. He has not been a fit, has Rasmus Anderson with Vegas, and everybody's still led to believe he's re-signing there. I wonder if they rethink that whole process. So that'd be a simple yes for me. I had a couple takes on Cole Hudson. You got to pass that puck, right? There's no way I'm scoring my first NHL goal that. You got to pass that puck. I thought he looked great. Why? Go ahead, Jake. Go ahead.
I agree with you, actually. I'm on your side on this one. I was thinking about that watching it. I'm going, it's first NHL goal, but it's your first game. You're going to get your goal eventually. Yeah. And I get it. The family's there. And look, they don't care if it goes in on a goalie or not. Everybody's happy. You get the first goal puck. But Alex Ovechkin's sitting right there. Mm-hmm. Everybody else on the ice, Meanie, is pointing to the net, except for Alex Ovechkin, because he wants that puck. I think once he saw it go in, you saw how happy Ovi was for him. But you got a chance to earn some brownie points there. Just send that over to the old goat and let him tap in another goal. So that's
maybe
how I looked at it.
I like the selfishness, man. It's his first NHL game. Score a goal. Like, I don't care if there's a goalie in the net or not. Like, put the puck in the net. It's your first NHL game. It's a nice accomplishment for him.
I like it. The other conclusion I drew is, like, for the second straight draft, I guess everybody just forgot about a Hudson. Like, I don't know how we're doing this all over again. Like, it's deja vu. It's like, I don't know how this guy was not taken sooner. And I understand, I think Lane at that point when Cole was drafted had played two games in the NHL, but he looks so dynamic already, looks like a point producer in this league. And yes, 1,000%, as I talked about off the top of the show, I'm picking this guy up. Elsewhere, I want to give us a shout out to Cole Caulfield. Finally can go by 40 goal Caulfield, as Pete had his fantasy name a couple years ago. Guy just rips it. I don't think he has an empty net goal in his career. Doesn't. As well. And another mailbag question we had, Jake, was about Mason McTavish. You standing pat on McTavish because he likes the popcorn press box right now, unfortunately.
Very timely question, because I do have Mason McTavish in my fantasy playoffs. One healthy scratch, I go, okay, fine. I know his production's been bad, sending a message. Two healthy scratches, now it's the coach saying, we might be better off without you. So this is where I get a little worried, and I'm not keeping a guy on my roster right now that's getting health bombed, not even playing in the lineup means. So I think I got to drop him at this point. Now, he might get back in next game and produce and maybe get an offensive roll back. But at this time in fantasy playoffs, you got to cut ties with a guy that's not even getting rostered.
Yeah, no question. I think we even took him out of our ranks. There's certain guys that are not playing. I mean, he's not playing, right? So you're in the fantasy hockey playoffs and he's not getting the lineup. What's the point of holding him on your fantasy hockey roster? And I think his days in Anaheim could be numbered. I know the contract negotiations didn't seem like it went well. It went all the way up to the to nearly the start of the season. So I think, you know, maybe Nick, he could be a buy low candidate from a dynasty standpoint. And I think from a real life standpoint, teams will be checking in and trying to buy low on him as well. And maybe a change of scenery will do him well. But no, there's no chance I'm holding this guy on my team.
That is a shot in the jugular, not being able to play against Trevor Zegras. Nothing but love. I love that post too. No, actually, they weren't big fans of Trevor Zegras. That's why they traded him. He's having a great year in Philadelphia. And the last mailbag question I wanted to get to, and I could tee Pete up on this one. Florida Panthers, what are we doing with any of their files? We got a question about Seth Jones, any interest in his return? I'll tell you guys right now, Sergei Bobrovsky has single-handedly destroyed one of my fantasy teams. He cannot make a save. Like, I felt so confident in drafting this guy, and now he's so leaky. Like, it just hasn't been a great contract year. A five spot against in two of his last six appearances. The timing's not good. Florida seems pretty content on getting a top 10 pick because of the Jones predicament in that trade. So how would you attack the Florida Panthers moving forward here, Pete?
I do think there will be some garbage time value in this team. It is crazy to think that they're second worst in the whole Eastern Conference because the Eastern Conference is so damn good. I mean, we were talking about the Islanders. The Islanders are a couple of points away from falling out of the playoffs because of how well Boston, Columbus, teams like that, and of course Detroit in that mix as well. So Florida's like completely out of it right now. But when these guys come back, if Marchand comes back, I don't know if he will, Reinhart, you know, these are still guys that I would want to go to bat to with my fantasy season on the line, including Seth Jones. So I would roster Seth Jones if you're in a deeper league for sure.
I think you have to proceed with caution. I think Seth Jones is fine. He's back. But, man, they scratched Evan Rodriguez the other day. One of my buddies streamed Evan Rodriguez thinking he would play, and they just scratched him. So Reinhart can't hold him. You can't hold him. He didn't make the four-game road trip. You just can't hold these guys. Carter Verhaeghe in and out of the lineup. Anton Lindell,
load
you just
management.
Don't know. You just don't know what Paul Maurice is going to do and who he's going to put in your lineup. I think Seth Jones is safe. I think Matthew Tkachuk is safe. After that, Bennett included. I know it's a tough pill to swallow, but I'd be moving on from them.
This is bad news for one of my teams because I've got terrible, Lindell, right? And Verhaeghe in fantasy playoffs. But look, this is what happens when you have players on bad teams. Nick, I don't know what they're load managing these guys for, the golf course in the summer or something like that. Let the boys play.
Strange.
I at least need Verhaeghe to get going. Lindell's production hasn't been there, unfortunately. A guy I really like, I still do like long term, but yeah, for the rest of this season, outside of a couple guys that Meany mentioned, Nick, it's tough go for the Panthers, and I'm certainly not trusting either of their goaltenders right now.
Nobody could have expected this Panthers team to be in this situation, not to mention we got a Stanley Cup final rematch again coming up on Thursday, and you won't believe how I'm going to bet that game. That's coming up. Time for a break. On the other side, we'll get to On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. For now, a look at NHL Fantasy Stars with Petey and Means.
Petey, busy Thursday. What do you do in your Fantasy Stars lineup? Not just today, the rest of the week.
So I got lucky the other day in a pack. I picked up Zach Hyman, who's averaging almost 10 fantasy stars points per game before you train him. So I'm excited to get him into the training spot at left wing. Of course, Hyman with Drysdale out, they're going to lean on that line with McDavid and Hyman heavily against the defending champs here on Thursday.
I got an under-the-radar play for you. The Lightning play tonight against the leaky Vancouver Canucks. They have a game on Saturday and Sunday. Gage Gonsalves is playing with Braden Point and Jake Gensler. He's riding a four-game point streak. He hits. He throws his body around. You get extra fantasy points for that. He's our under-the-radar play over at NHL.com/fantasy, where you can see our must-own players, the team to target. Download the NHL Fantasy Stars app and watch those points pile up.
It's time now for On the Money, presented by Bet365, home of the three-goal early payout and official partner of the NHL. Hockey fans, there are few things more stressful than a close hockey game. One late back check could make all the difference between a chance at playoff glory or an early spring tee time. That's why Bet365, an official partner of the NHL, is offering three-goal early payout. If the team you're riding goes up three goals at any point in the game, they'll pay your bet out early. Hockey fans have enough things to stress about with three-goal early payout, now your bets don't have to be one of them. Bet365, download the app today. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. Where should we start, Jake? What do you got for us, buddy?
Oh, we'll start on Thursday. We'll dig into this card a little bit. We got a couple of big matchups for the playoff race, including Montreal versus Detroit. Very intrigued about that one. Slight lean to Montreal for me at the moment. But Meany, the Ottawa Senators get a ton of respect in the odds market. I've been noticing, you know, huge favorites against Montreal last week, significant favorites on the road against Washington on Wednesday night. I love a lot of the defensive metrics about the Ottawa Senators, and I think that's why we're seeing these numbers. But give me the New York Islanders at plus money with Ottawa in the second half of a back-to-back and probably James Reimer between the pipes. Give me Sorokin over Reimer. It's a simple handicap for me. I'll take that at plus money and keep riding the Islanders here.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a tough loss by the Senators. They can't afford to give these games up. And if they do go James Reimer, you wonder if that number changes. They did go Allmark back-to-back last week, which was kind of surprised to see. But either way, I'm with you on that one. I like the Islanders. I like the Sabres, minus 140, a little bit of juice there. But San Jose had that lengthy East Coast road trip. Then they kind of wrapped up on the West Coast and haven't really liked where they're at. And the Sabres just keep winning hockey games. Josh Doan is plus money for a point. He's up on that first power play. Plus 135. Five, Nick, for three shots. He's had three plus shots in six of his last seven games, and the Sharks bleed shots.
I like it. Couple avenues I'm going to look. It's three-way season, guys. My favorite time of year, March Madness as well. But Montreal at Detroit, I got the three-way tie in that game. That game's going to overtime. I'll tell you right now, maybe you look at Caulfield in that game. Florida at Edmonton. I just teed things up, a preview, a Stanley Cup final rematch yet again. I like the Edmonton puck line, even without Drysdale. It's quite clear what's happening with the Florida Panthers. Can't make a save right now. Can't win a hot. They lost to Vancouver. We haven't even talked about that. Like, that is some ugly, ugly stuff. So I'm going to play the Edmonton puck line in that game. I think now's a really good time, too, Jake, to maybe play Connor McDavid for the Hart Trophy. Now with Drysdale out, he can really grab this award and run with it. I think it's got to be McDavid time.
I'll add to your three-way season. I do like that angle this time of the year. We saw it. I saw it with Montreal and Boston the other night. 2-2 in the third. Nobody wants to make that mistake. Let's just make sure we get to overtime. Everybody get a point. I'd put Boston and Winnipeg in there as well. The Bruins have been to overtime five of their last six games, so they've been very much one of these teams that have been going to OT a lot. Guys, I wanted to make a little bit of a sales pitch on a possible future angle here. It might be a bit of a tough sell, but hear me out on it. Go to the Pacific Division. We know how weak it is. The Los Angeles Kings. It's been a bad season. We know that. They just finished up a pretty good five-game road trip, 3-1-1. Look at the rest of their schedule. Three against Vancouver, two against Calgary, two at home against the Nashville Predators, one against the Leafs in there as well. Very, very easy schedule down the stretch for LA means. I don't mind them at 18-1 to win the Pacific Division. Vegas can't beat a good team right now. Edmonton's without Leon Draisaitl, and Anaheim is very, very inconsistent. So I know it's a bit of a tough sell on the Kings, but just look at that schedule, 18-1 over at Bet365 to win the Pacific Division. Might be worth a sprinkle here down the stretch.
I don't hate it. You know, they got to find a way to win hockey games at home. They're like the Rangers. They go on the road and they just look like yeah. a great team. They dominate teams offensively and then they go home and they can't win. But you're right about the schedule. Arguably, I think they're maybe second or third in terms of most favorable schedule. And you look and there's 7 points back and they got a couple games on hand on teams. And some of those teams on top of the Pacific are certainly limping into the playoffs right now. And, you know, you mentioned McDavid, Nick, for Hart. What about Nikita Kucherov? I mean, he's an auto so play good. Right now, minus yeah. 120 for 2 points. He's got 79 points in his last 39 games. He leads the NHL over that span with 2.03 points per game. He's got 8 games with 4 plus points. He's got 12 games with 3 plus points, 25 games with 2 plus points, and he's got 7 games with 0 points. So he's got more games with 8 plus points than 0. I like the Lightning tonight. I think he can take him on the puck line. I think he can have some fun, win by 3 goals, win by 4 goals. This is a good spot. In the same game parlay, you can take Hagel, Point, Radish, 2-1 against the Canucks.
Kucherov is on such a rampage. I recall the first month of the season, I was really annoyed as a fantasy owner because he was doing nothing out there. He was getting nothing, no points, no stat stuffing, and it's been such a different story ever since. I know we talked about this last week, too. I think now is the time to play Edmonton to win the Stanley Cup, plus 1,500. I say why not? There's no Florida. I think it's a relatively easy path, at least, to a conference final, taking nothing away from the likes of Vegas. I don't believe in that team. Anaheim, L.A., the list goes on and on. And my final play before we turn things over to PD Props, Utah at Vegas. I know I just talked about how I wasn't a fan of Vegas, but they need this game badly against Utah. Vegas money line for this one means.
Yeah, they really do need it. I mean, it was another tough loss against the Sabres. Are we concerned about Drysdale? I know Drysdale being out has increased that number, right, Pete? I think Jake brought them up on Monday. Now there's no Drysdale for the rest of the regular season. You can get 15-1. It's not a bad spot, but I don't know if I like them to go on a run without Leon.
It sounds like we got at least a little bit of good news that, you know, no surgery. Maybe they're going to do this thing where they try to get him a game or two at the end of the regular season, but it's all up in the air. He went from day to day to out to the season to maybe coming back in the regular season. So who knows with what's happening with Leon, but you're right, Means. If he's not healthy for the playoffs, they basically have no shot. I'm going to bank on him being healthy. And I think Nick makes a pretty good point. If they stay on that Pacific side of the bracket, could be some value in that, that Edmonton number. PD props.
Well, I wanted to mention that the Oilers, if you're going to play that narrative that they're going to band together and try to, you know, overcome for the rest of the regular season this loss to Drysdale, they're plus 400 to win the division. They're 1 point out of the top of the division, and I have a lot of issues with Anaheim, a lot of issues with Vegas as well. So I'm not against playing that if you're going to play devil's advocate. But to the props market we go. Bobby McMahon plus 325 anytime goal. He's got 4 goals in 3 games with the Kraken. That's a no-brainer. Braden Schenn, you could still get a good number on him for a point at Ottawa, plus 135. And then backing what Meany said about Kucherov for Hart, plus 260. The guys helped Tampa Bay stay near the top of the league, even though they've lost, you know, a lot of time to Hedman, a lot of time to Braden Point this year. There is a case for Nikita Kucherov.
Gents, great stuff, Pete. Awesome as usual. And Jake, looking forward to Monday, week 22 waiver wire edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice.
I'm excited. Hopefully everybody is still alive in their fantasy playoffs, can survive in advance. A big weekend, a lot of hockey coming up, and a happy three-way season to you, my friend. Good luck this weekend.
It's a good call.
You as well, boys. Thank you to producer Bob Bender. For Jay Conn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Take care.